To many, the Old Testament story of Jonah is nothing more than a mythical tale designed to teach moral lessons about running away from our problems. As such, it's become more popular with children, perhaps, than with historians. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll kicks off a brand new series about this man's journey. Chuck intends that dismissing Jonah as an imaginary figure does a terrible disservice to biblical history. And denying the veracity of this account results in missing the powerful life lessons we gain by tracing the footsteps of Jonah. We'll begin today by reading from Scripture.
The book of Jonah, please turn in your Bibles to this Old Testament prophet. It's probably been a long time since you have heard a message out of Jonah. In fact, if Jonah is ever referred to, it is often with a skeptical kind of comment or even a joke. I spoke with a young man who was taking a religion course along with his other involvements in a university here in the Metroplex several years ago, and he said, I'll tell you, our religion prof has had quite a time going through the Bible and picking on places like Noah and the Ark and the whole idea of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But he said, I'll tell you, when he got to Jonah, he had a field day. When he came to the fish that swallowed Jonah, it was like half the class is in laughter. Regrettably, some books are battered and bruised. If bruises could show, Jonah would be black and blue. Because most folks don't have a clue what the book is about behind the scenes and don't realize how relevant and real the message is. Even the miracles in it notwithstanding, most don't realize the greatest revival in the history of the world is recorded in Jonah. And there it is for us to see. And not even that was enough to convince Jonah to break free from his prejudice, which was severe. Anyway, there's a lot here, and our hope today is to survey the book and then come back with chapter one and work our way through it bit by bit. If you found the book of Jonah in your Bible, I would ask you to stand for the reading of excerpts from the four chapters that bear the name of the man who is the main character of the book. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Verse 4. The Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. Verse 12, throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Verse 17, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish and said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me, I call to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord, and Lord, you heard me. Verse 9, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praises, and I will fulfill all my vows, for deliverance comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I've given you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message from the greatest to the least. They declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Verse 10, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Verse 4, the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Verse 9, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel compassion for such a great city? Not often a book of the Bible ends with a question, but all the way through, you will feel the questions crowd in on you as you probe your own heart and as you see yourself, not just Jonah in the book.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the brand new series called Jonah, the Reluctant Prophet.
There are some people we just cannot imagine ever being reluctant. I mean, think about a category of those we would never think of as reluctant. How about head coaches ever being reluctant about anything? Or cheerleaders, while we're in the subject, or even Olympic athletes actively engaged in whatever they're planning for? Or how about a Marine Corps drill instructor, never reluctant? I mean, life is full of energy, full of enthusiasm. They're up early. They see the morning as one of life's greatest moments. And then there are others. They feel like if the morning is so nice, they ought to make it later in the day. Some time ago, I read about a mother who was having a whale of a time trying to get her son to get up. And She'd been watching through the week as his energy level had been draining day by day. Toward the end of the week, he was just downright depressed. So she wasn't fully surprised, but never expected he'd be hitting the snooze button on the alarm about 6 or 7 times that morning. And she was badgering him to get up. Get up, get up. I mean, time is being wasted. Get up. And he finally, with one eye open, said to her, "If you can give me 3 good reasons, I'll get up." She said, "Okay, okay. It's Sunday morning, and you need to get up and get dressed for church. Number 2, you're 43 years old, and you ought to know by now, and you need to get up out of bed. Number 3, you're the pastor of the church. You need to be up. They expect you to be there." Now, that strikes us funny because you cannot imagine a pastor being reluctant about anything. Or how about a prophet? Until you get to Jonah. And right out of the chute, he's running in the wrong direction. Not because he didn't understand, but because he understood and didn't want to go there. It was a deliberate, self-centered act of disobedience. He's more than reluctant. Last time we were together, we talked about that characteristic that marks those who walk with God. We called it selfless humility. Jonah is an illustration of the opposite. All the way through the book, you'll sort of cluck your tongue thinking, how self-serving can you be? He seems like an adolescent, still trying to learn how to share life with others. No, he's a prophet. We'll look later at this, but you find him over in 2 Kings as being a prophet in the days of a king during times of prosperity. Quite likely, he had predicted such times. Jeroboam II in his days of prosperity. He wasn't a godly king, but he was a prosperous king and probably was grateful for the prophecies of Jonah, who had told of the days of prosperity that were coming. You do need a map when you do study the life of Jonah, and you will see that Joppa, which is the port city where he catches the ship that is on its way to Tarshish, is some 2,500 miles west of Israel. Nineveh is 500 miles east. It's like God saying to you, go to Berlin and you catch the next boat to Honolulu. It doesn't make sense. Unless you're thinking like Jonah thinks. You will learn when you study God's word, and it is about a character in the Bible, that unless you put yourself in the robes, in the sandals, in the clothing of the person himself or herself, you'll miss the point. You'll see him through your eyes, and it's not about you. It's about him. And you'll forget that he is a zealot. We would call today in our world a strong-hearted, exclusive Jew who saw the Lord God as exclusively committed to the Jew and the Jew only. The Hebrew people, his chosen ones. And it is Jonah's privilege to minister to them. And out of the blue, the Lord, without any warning, says, now You leave the familiar and get out of your exclusive world. You go to a place that my heart breaks for those people. You go to the Assyrians and you take my message of warning to them. But Jonah's an enigma. He falls in the category of these other great prophets who stand like a steer in a blizzard when all others are moving in the wrong direction. Here's the prophet, standing firm, standing strong, except Jonah. And right out of the chute, we find him at a harbor looking for a ship that will be just the one he wants to get on. Not to go to Nineveh. That's 500 miles to the east. He finds a ship bound for Tarshish in South Spain, literally to the west of the Rock of Gibraltar, 2,500 miles to the west of the land of Israel. He deliberately chose that. My imagination kicks in as I think of Jonah walking along the port city of Joppa, looking for the ship, and finally is attracted to the name someone painted on the back of this one in Hebrew, Palat. That's the one. It means escape. Escape. He gets a ticket. There's room for him on board. Not only does he get on board, it isn't but a matter of a brief period of time before he's down in the hold of the ship, sound asleep. His conscience doesn't bother him. The amazing thing, he's not only running away from that calling, which is so clearly revealed, he's running from the presence of the Lord. Did you hear that? Can't do it. God is omnipresent, great big four-bit word for he's everywhere at once. The psalmist writes of that, if I go into heaven, you were there. If I go to the grave, to Sheol, you were there. If I take the wings of the dawn and dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold me. Jonah knew that psalm. David had lived and died and left the psalm in his legacy. And if I travel the speed of light, that's the wings of the dawn, and I wind up the farthest removed in the midst of the sea, even there, I find God. When I come to a moment like that, I always remember the early cosmonaut. That's what they called him in Russia when they went into space and they were the first ones to make the cycle, remember? And they were so proud of it and they were especially glad to announce that we did not see God. W.A. Criswell, the following Sunday at First Baptist Church in Dallas, made the announcement, if one of those cosmonauts had stepped out of his spacesuit, he would have seen God. He's there. He's there. You can't get away. You're trying to run from him. Don't waste your time. You'll find he'll be there waiting for you. But Jonah, of course, is caught up in himself. So he gets on board the ship. And you know, I've asked you to read the story. These Phoenician sailors are all troubled by the storm. And these are salts. These guys know their way around the sea. But Jonah forgot that God also goes to the sea. And he suddenly came to the realization when they finally woke him up. He says to them, it's my fault. It's my fault. Throw me over. Well, they couldn't imagine doing such a thing. To them, in their religion, it's called murder. But for Jonah, it's called relief. And finally, they do it, and the sea is immediately calm, and Jonah is churning down below and finally rescued by the fish. It's a strange book. I admit, Jonah's an enigma. And anytime I speak about other preachers or a prophet, I want to tread softly and carefully. I don't want to be unfair. As a matter of fact, this will surprise you, among all the patriarchs and all of the prophets and all of the apostles and all of the saints from both the Old and the New Testament, whose features appear on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, the most beautiful and the most notable beyond all question is that of Jonah. If you've not been there, you'll need to note it when you go. If you have been, I hope you didn't miss it. You would think Jonah would be cowered in a corner, covering his face, or the hoodie, hiding out in shame. No. Not Jonah. There's something more to this. And this, the artistic masterpiece by Michelangelo, he picks it up. In fact, next time you have a chance to do so, check Matthew 12:41. Jesus himself says, when referring to his ministry, tells his critics in front of him, a greater than Jonah is here among you. Not a greater than Isaiah. Not a greater than Ezekiel. Not even a greater than Daniel. He picks Jonah. So let's face it. We're missing something. If all we see in the book is a rebel prophet and a weird fish swallowing him, vomiting him out on the beach, and then his proclaiming a message from God, there's a lot here we've missed. I provided a chart for you, and you should have found it in your worship folder. I want you to pull it out, if you will. It's what I call a horizontal chart of the book. You read it top to bottom, left to right. Call him the reluctant prophet. In chapter 1, Jonah is running from God, as we've seen. On the ship, off the ship, into the sea. He's on a mad dash to get away from the presence of the Lord. The fish comes, and he comes to a sudden realization that the fish is his deliverance, not punishment. The seamen know nothing of this. They're up on the ship, grateful that the storm is calm, but down below, a man's life is being changed, or at least his mind. And in chapter 2, Jonah is running to God. On the chart, you'll see it. Because in the fish, you will find Jonah offering up a prayer. It's one of the strangest places in all of Scripture to find a person in prayer. It's a messy place. It's a dark place. It's hot. In fact, as I did my homework and found among those few who have been pulled from the innards of a fish, when they were found and found alive, their bodies were bleached in places from the acid of the fishes. Digestive system.
And
this marks our very first day in a brand new series from Chuck Swindoll called Jonah, the Reluctant Prophet. Delivered not long ago to the congregation in Texas, where Chuck serves as senior pastor, this 9-part study will carry us through the month of May. To learn more about Insight for Living, visit us at insightworld.org. Earlier, I quickly mentioned a companion resource available to you, and I'd like to make sure you didn't miss it. I'm referring to the Searching the Scriptures studies that are provided every day online and give you the tools for following along with Chuck and making your own observations. Be sure to take advantage of this interactive study guide. You can enjoy the notes online or feel free to print them out. All the details are at insightworld.org/studies. If you received Chuck's letter sent to your home in recent days, you know that he told the story about meeting an unbelieving doctor friend for lunch and sharing the gospel with him. His encounter reinforced the importance of keeping the message very simple, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He attracted lawyers, beggars, tax collectors, and politicians, everyone from all walks of life, and in language they would understand. And that's our mission at Insight for Living Ministries. We're focused on spreading the gospel to all 195 nations of the world in a manner that's clear, compelling, and simple. As God nudges you to join us as a financial partner, we boldly invite you to link arms with us. Your gift, whether big or small, will be used to carry God's simple message far and wide. To support this ministry with a donation right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Many have found that using the Insight for Living mobile app is quite helpful to give contributions. Or you can give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Dave Spiker. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues his new series about Jonah, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Jonah the Reluctant Prophet, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.